In a world that appears to be filled with negativity and distrust, it's easy to feel helpless and frustrated. Well, how about a change? How about a podcast that brings positivity to your day with stories about everyday people doing good things for people around them? You found it here. This is the Harmony Goal Podcast with Tom Durth, focused on making the world a more harmonious and caring place. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome back to the Harmony Goal Podcast. And our goal is, once again, in this podcast, is to talk about anybody who is out there in the world that is creating more harmony with themselves and with other people and to make this world a better place. And today we are honored, absolutely honored, to have an author of a brand new book that just hit the market, and you better get it while it's hot. And the book is called Sacred Legacy. It's Empowered Generational Healing. And don't we need that? Right now, we've got different generations out there that just don't seem to understand one another. I remember my mother and father saying, these kids are not, and then today, what do we hear elders say? These kids are not. And so we have somebody here who's going to give us some wonderful tips on what their family has done. Our guest is Amber Dobkins, and Amber has two of the most perfect, absolutely perfect co-hosts, co-authors for her book. So Amber, tell us a little bit about yourself and about your book and these two perfect co-authors you have.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Tom. It's great to be here and so excited about the book launch that just came out, Sacred Legacy, as you mentioned. And my two perfect co-authors are my mother and my daughter. Since we're talking about generational healing, who better to share the stories of our family than the three generations? So for me, I'm Amber Dobkins, and I live in Southern Idaho. My husband and I love transformational work. We are energy healing practitioners, and I just really loved looking at the family dynamics and seeing how we could transform some of the things and make things better for the next generation and in our communities. So that's where it comes into my heart and really how the idea came for the book and where I like to spend a lot of my time.
Did you have to do a lot of convincing with your mom and your daughter to get involved with the book? Because putting a book together is a major project. I've never done one. I have lots of friends who have authored, and they just go, oh, it's a lot of work. Did you have trouble getting them to want to participate with you?
No, actually, they were on board immediately. I called my daughter first and said, hey, I have this idea coming through, and I would love to have you do the project with me if you're willing. And she said yes right away. And then at the same time, we both said, we've got to call Zanny, which is my mom's name for grandma. So we called my mom and asked her to join, and she said she just had chills and said, absolutely, let's do it. And we jumped in right away. So that was about a year ago.
Wow. That's amazing. That's fantastic. So everybody was on board right away. So how did you begin to put this together? Because you put some fabulous thoughts together that I think anybody can use in their own personal lives, and they can learn a lot from your book. But how did you begin to get the ideas of your structure and how you wanted to put this together?
Oh boy, that was the hardest part of the book. Writing the book was simple. Editing the book was simple, but the layout was the most difficult part. We spent months and months and months on that. So, and especially with three authors and the way we tell the story, we really wanted it to flow. So we went through probably four or five manuscripts before we settled on this layout.
Wow.
It was a lot of work. A lot of time went into that. But eventually we focused on allowing my mom to tell the story, since she started the healing process, really. She started back in the 80s when it was a little bit more difficult to find groups and books on this type of subject. I mean, you really had to search and find the right communities to explore this type of thing. So we start with her journey of how she started the healing process, and then went into my journey, and then into my daughter's journey, and finish up together. And then really took five essentials that we found most beneficial for our transformation and applied that into the book.
I would imagine just narrowing it down to what you want to talk about and see which ones of the elements you want to talk about would stand out and just say, these are the things that are the most important and have had the most impact on us. So, and I know there's five elements in your book here that you would like to have people just to realize how impactful they were in getting this beautiful harmony within the three generations of people that are out there. So what was one? I know one of them you were talking about is awareness. And you were saying something about awareness. So that's a big word. And awareness, how did that apply to the generations being able to communicate more effectively and be more cohesive, if you will, whatever the terms may be?
Yeah, awareness was really where we all started our healing process. When we paused and really looked at our life and looked at what was working and what wasn't, and asking ourselves, how can we transform this? So being able to stop and look at ourselves and have the awareness that something needs to change was our first step forward. It was what opened everything up for us. So just sitting in to our being and asking for the awareness. And sometimes that's uncomfortable. You know, we have to admit that, you know, maybe we're doing something that is harming our kids or that is disrupting the harmony within our parents or our family in general. And being able to take accountability for that and realize, okay, I own this, and now I have the awareness to see that I need to change this.
So it's kind of going inside then is what you're really saying. So being aware, which is an outward thing, you had to go inside to begin to realize that it's your job also, not just somebody else's job to say, you need to fix your life. And I think so often in generations, as we're looking down, we're finding out that other people need to fix their lives so that my life can be better. But you're saying go inward. Do you have any specific example that you could give us about what that was like? I mean, we don't need to go into everything in your book because we want people to read your book. But what was something that made you aware of maybe your daughter or your mom that opened up that communication for you?
Yeah, there's a story in the book that I talk about the moment that I realized that my daughter needed help, that she was struggling and just hurting inside. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I was looking at her in her eyes and I realized I could see all her pain. I could see all that she was going through. And the awareness came in that I was a big part of that I was contributing to that hurt and that pain. Mm-hmm. I wasn't doing it intentionally.
Right.
I actually was trying to protect her from all that pain. And through that protection, I created some of the pain. So that moment was, and I go into detail in the book, there's a whole chapter on it, of how that awareness affected me and what I did with it.
Well, I think this is something that is a major thing for most people. I think because once again, people have a tendency to look at others as being the ones at fault or the person that should be fixing themselves sort of thing. But when you can realize that it's your own path, and that's the starting point when you recognize that, what a beautiful thing, what a fabulous thing to do for a daughter is to be open to her needs or son, whoever it may be. So that was great. What was your daughter's reaction when you began to show this awareness to her that she wasn't alone?
It was beautiful. It was like a flower blooming open. That's the best way I can describe it. It seemed like, I mean, we always had a pretty good relationship. We talked all the time. We were together a lot. But it felt like her heart was opening more, and we were able to do the work together, the healing work and the transformational work, and that brought us even closer together. So it really helped our relationship.
Oh, that's fabulous. That's wonderful. When you can see that in somebody else and then begin to recognize how different that is for you. But in the process of that, you also discovered some things about, and I'm sure during this process when you were making this awareness with your daughter, is setting boundaries. I know that's another one of the things you talk about in your book. And there are so few people that know how to do that. And I think that for us to communicate in the world, we need that. What can you share with us about setting boundaries?
Oh, boundaries is like one of my best friends now. So I love the topic of boundaries because I was a people pleaser and I did not know how to say no. So learning my responsibilities, whether that be emotional responsibilities, like not taking on my daughter's problems, you know, if she's sad, I don't have to take on that sadness. And a lot of times I did. I would take on her problems and try to fix them for her. So having the boundary of this is her journey and letting her process that on her own was a big boundary that I had to put up. But also learning that I didn't have to just say yes to people because they were my boss or they were my family or my good friend. So learning that what's best for me is generally what's best for most people and looking at the highest good of all and being able to really look at how far do I want to expand my energy. And there are times that I need to rest or say, you know, this isn't in my best interest. So taking the awareness of what needs to change and looking at that and then being able to say, okay, here's where my boundary is. This is how I'm going to make a change. And a lot of that came through boundaries.
Because I know when trying to set boundaries, one of the things that I've talked to people about in the past is it's really hard to figure out how to do that because we get so into our routine, we get into our patterns of life, that sort of thing. And being one of those people that is constantly doing for others, not knowing how to say no. What are some hints that you can give us, anything that comes to mind, as to what's a good way to keep reminding yourself about those boundaries? You know, because boundaries are things that we can talk about. We can look back at someday when we've done it like you are now. How did you go about changing the habits of boundaries?
Yeah, there's two questions that I mentioned in the book. Let's see if I can remember them. One, I know the first question is I always asked myself, how much am I willing to give? And that can include money. It can include time. It can include energy. How much energy am I willing to give to this topic or situation? And when I ask myself that question, I'm able to recognize when I'm giving too much or too little and finding that balance of how much am I willing to give to this topic.
And I'm sure that the involvement as to who is on the other side of that is another factor too. When it's your daughter, how could you not open your heart, right? So that's amazing. So yeah, I think that's a good hint. So in the book, you've got some guidelines that we could follow to help us, but how important it is to have those boundaries for yourself.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And what about, you know, have you run into a situation where sometimes your boundaries have created some maybe resistance with other people? Because I think that's another issue with boundaries.
Yes, definitely. I think that when we first start to put up boundaries, if we're not used to having boundaries in our lives, people tend to test them. And because they see it as a pushback or it's uncomfortable for them because they know that you're willing to give in the past, you've been willing to give more and now you're not giving as much. So I've definitely had people tell me, you were nicer before you had boundaries. Or things of that nature. But, and of course, family can be difficult sometimes when you put up boundaries because it can feel like you're rejecting them or you're rejecting a piece of the love or something like that. But in the end, I think it becomes a healthier relationship because when there's no boundaries, you're just allowing whatever to happen. And sometimes that means you're being mistreated or you're in an uncomfortable situation that's not in integrity with who you are. And when you're able to say, you know, I'm just not comfortable with this, or saying I'd rather not participate in this, or give a different example of how you would like to participate in something. If you're in a disagreement with someone, you know, sometimes it's better to say, I would like to have this conversation when we're both more calm and in a setting that we can find a solution instead of just picking at each other or belittling each other in that nature.
Right. So you discovered this in this generational study, or actually you were living it before you wrote the book, obviously. I think so many people don't know how to do that when they get into the work environment or with their neighbors, or if they're in a homeowner association, or if they're just even with people from their church or whatever. When people are interacting with other people, it's so easy for people who don't know how to say no to be taken advantage of. And I think your hints there of saying that I'd rather talk about this a different way. Here's something I'd rather do. This doesn't fit where I am right now. To be honest about that is a wonderful growth thing for you and for others. So what a beautiful gift that is. And what about, we haven't talked about, you talked a little bit about with your daughter. How about the boundaries with your mom? Were there any differences there than they were with maybe your daughter and other family members?
Yeah, definitely. My mom is actually really good about giving space and that sort of a thing. So she's not overbearing or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it was actually pretty easy for us to apply boundaries to our relationship. Mm-hmm. And she lives in a different town. So actually, we've had to work on communicating more together and seeing each other more often because there is a lot of space between us. So
oh, wow.
I guess boundaries could work both ways if you look at it that way, where I want to have more time with her. So how do I make that happen?
Right. Your boundary is I don't want separation.
Yes. Yes.
I want to knock down the fence between us and time-wise sort of thing. So that's great. And so your mom being part of the authoring of this book, what a great idea. I just want to go back to that. The whole idea, if you're writing a book about generations, to have three authors that are generational is just, that was brilliant. I'm really happy you did that. That's really cool. And what you talk about, one of the other elements you talk about is having a proper perspective. So you've got this whole idea of where you're aware of other people's needs and as well as your own. You're creating boundaries, which they sound almost contradictory, but you were able to do that. And now all of a sudden to have a perspective of how that all fits in together. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, perspective really helped me open my eyes to looking at life and situations from a different view. Mm-hmm. So I like to become the observer in a situation where when I'm in a dramatic or tough situation, I like to kind of pull myself out of it emotionally and look at it as if it was happening to two strangers.
Oh.
And then I remove the emotions that kind of get me worked up or that sort of a thing. I can remove that from my perspective and look at the situation differently. So I try to apply that to just about everything in my life. If there's something that is getting me worked up or triggered, I try to take a step back and see, is there a different way that I can perceive this, and maybe my perception is different than the other person's. You know, a lot of times we might be in a disagreement and someone is taking the situation totally different than how we're perceiving it, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. Like there's mm-hmm. just two different ideas happening, and that's where the miscommunication is coming from.
Wow. Yeah, the thing is amazing when you stop and think about the things going on, like in the media today, and how there's so much separation in the world. And if more people could learn your technique on how to do that, how to have a perspective of what somebody else's approach, their beliefs, their values, having wrapped around any particular subject. Have you ever gotten into a situation where it really goes to a really deep level for someone? Like, for example, when you're dealing with something that is a value or a belief that someone has, and to be able to step back from that. Do you have any examples of something of that nature that we could all learn from? Because I think that's a tough one today in this day and age.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I try to understand the other person and where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. And usually I do that by asking questions like, do you mean this? Or can you clarify that more? Or those sorts of questions. And really what I've had to come to the realization is that I don't have to agree with them. Understanding them is enough. Just understanding where they're coming from, what drives them, and that sort of a thing. I can grasp that and not have to agree.
Not have to agree, but also understand a different perspective on something. Because I think we have a tendency to go into things, I know I do, go into things with somewhat of a closed mind. And I have to just kick myself every once in a while and say, okay, just listen to the person. So it's not just listen, but what you're saying is ask questions.
Yes.
Go deeper. Yeah. And find out what's in that person's heart, not just in their voice.
Absolutely.
Very nice. Very nice. And if you think of anything else you'd like to share about that, because I think that's a really tough one for people, because we get so tied into our beliefs and our values, and wherever they come from and however they get solidified, is to be flexible enough to have a perspective for somebody else. So,
yes.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on that before we move on? Because that's a tough one. That's a really tough one. Did you find it different looking at the perspective for either your mom or your daughter as you were working on your book? Did you have some aha experiences you'd like to share?
Yes, there's there's so many examples here that I could share, but really just the language that's changed. I mean, there's 20 years between myself and my daughter, and 20 years between my mom and I. So 40 years difference between my mom and my daughter. So anyway, as we're discussing the book, we realized that we would all be using the same word, and we would all have different definitions of that one word because of the generational changes, you know, like just the word gay, it used to mean happy, and now it has a different definition that's used mm-hmm. these days, or mm-hmm. or things like that. So when we thought we were agreeing on one thing, we realized we were on different planets as to the concept wise.
That's wonderful. That's a wake up call. That's a wake up call. You being right in the middle is a perfect place to see that and experience that. So what did you do to help resolve some of that? Because once again, the more the kind of how to's we can share with our listeners is really good. Did you have anything that you any how to be more open to somebody else's understanding of words, language, ideas, that sort of thing? I'm kind of throwing a little curve at you here, but any how to's? So what's a good way to be more have a better perspective of somebody else?
Yeah, what we learned to do is when we would, when one word or a theme or something, a concept that was really important to the overall situation or the topic of what we were talking about, we learned to ask each other, what does that word mean to you? Instead of going off of the definition of mm-hmm. what we know from our generation mm-hmm. or our upbringing, mm-hmm. what does that mean to you? Was a big help.
That's great. So what I'm hearing, this is really cool. What I'm hearing is not only did you have the ability to put a book together and talking about generational communications, if you will, opening the doors of love and caring for one another, but in the writing of the book itself, there must have been an amazing awareness of what the reality is of all of these elements that you worked on. I could see where they stood out for you. Congratulations, you did a great job. That's great. And here's one that I've heard bantered around. And one of the things you also cover in your book is authenticity. I think most people have no idea how to even identify their own authenticity. What did you do with that?
Yeah, authenticity is a big word. There's a lot to it, I guess, is what I should say. Mm-hmm. And what with working through the other essentials, the elements that we've already talked about, it made embracing our own authenticity a little bit easier. And by what I mean by authenticity is really coming home to who we are and being able to express ourselves in a vulnerable and honest way and really accepting all parts of us. Because there's so many times that we're judgmental and critical to ourselves, and then we tend to hide pieces of ourselves, hide pieces of who we truly are. And when you are able to embrace your full self and shine in your fullness, then I think that's where authenticity really comes in, where, you know, always be respectful of those around you if you can, but respecting yourself even more and saying, this is true to who I am.
That's great. What's do you have anything off the top of your head on what's something that is pretty typical of somebody not honoring their own authenticity? I mean, what's a typical example that maybe you came up with while you were writing the book for each of you? Is there, I don't need something for each of you, but what's something that somebody would not admit that that's an authentic part of who they are?
Well, in the book, we talk about how each of us, all three of the authors, felt ostracized for being ourselves. So sometimes we feel like we're too much or we're not good enough or those sorts of things. And I'm just speaking in general to society. So when we embrace those things, if we say I'm too much, we typically tend to pull ourselves back and not show all of ourselves. We kind of put on a mask to fit in. Or do what we think everyone else wants us to do. Maybe we go to college for the very career that our parents always wanted us to be, and that isn't what we truly want. And being able to say, you know, this just isn't who I am. This isn't part of my heart. So I appreciate what you want for me, speaking to your parents, but this is really the direction that I want to go, and I'm going to embrace that authenticity within myself to allow myself to say no to this and yes to what I really, truly want.
So you got a couple of things going on there, not only authenticity, but you're also talking about your awareness and your boundaries. I mean, all these things seem to be, you've got a recipe here for a great, great meal, if you will, called a human life. And what a great thing. I mean, because these all tie together. That must have been a difficult part in writing the book and keeping those separate topics so you could cover them and get them covered without blending too many things in at one time, because they do blend so well together.
Yeah, and really that's why we listed them in a certain way, because they do expound on each other. So the awareness starts the process, and then it kind of expounds out from there, where they all just tie together, like you said.
That's beautiful, beautifully done. And then I think the one of the last ones you talk about is acceptance. And there's another one that's really a hard one for a lot of people, because we draw our picture of what somebody should be, and we begin to should on people, you know, and this acceptance. Tell us a little bit about how that tied in with your three generations. What was that like for you?
Yeah, I mean, acceptance has a few different pieces to it from our standpoint. Of course, accepting ourselves, as I mentioned, through authenticity. Accepting others and where they are, allowing them to be on their own journey. There were times that I really wanted to rescue my daughter, but I had to realize that it was her journey and accept that she had to go through that for whatever reason in her life to gain wisdom or experience. I always believe that the universe throws things into our life to build us up and help us gain more knowledge or wisdom, and it's always for our good. So allowing that, and then also accepting what is in our life, just as I just mentioned, that everything happens to bring us wisdom or experience, and we can use it for the good. So while there were times that my family struggled, or I watched other people go through difficult times, or I didn't know how to put up boundaries, all of those things in my life taught me to accept people, to have boundaries, to do all of those things. Mm-hmm. So by struggling, I learned more and it benefited my life in the end.
Wow. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. What's an example of a specific example, if you have one, about something that was that you had to accept? Because once again, your book is about the three generations. Is there anything specific between you and your mom, or you and your daughter, or your daughter, or your daughter and your mom? You know, there's that 40-year gap there. What was maybe some example of acceptance that went on there? Between the folks in the family?
Yeah, we've definitely used the acceptance element a lot in family. Mm-hmm. So I know for me, or for my mom, I should say, my mom was very open to a lot of different things spiritually. And when my kids were little, I decided that I wanted to test out strict church, like a fundamental strict Baptist church. And, you know, my mom, instead of saying, you know, Amber, that's a little extreme or that sort of a thing, she said, I'll come visit with you. And she wasn't the type of person that was into organized religion. She was very open spiritually, but she accepted my choice and said, let me support you in this and I'll go visit with you so that you, that I can go through this with you. So
that's beautiful. Beautiful. What about between your mom and your daughter? Anything there that stood out for you while you were writing the book?
Yeah, they definitely have different ideas of, you know, writing the book and editing the book. They had two very different ideas of how that should be laid out or how mm-hmm. that should be done. So they did have some discussions on how to deal with that. And mm-hmm. really, in the end, they had to accept, okay, this is very important to my mom, this whatever it is in the book, and this is very important to my daughter. And once they understood what it was that was important to each other, then they could accept, okay, we can work with this, and instead of fighting against each other, we accept the important things we each hold and mm-hmm. move forward together.
And obviously it was successful because the book is fabulous. It's great. I was telling Amber earlier that I'm dyslexic and I don't read very much, but I started reading part of the book and I went, oh, this is a smooth, easy read. And for somebody dyslexic to say that is that saying something. And the book, once again, title is Sacred Legacy. You don't want to miss this. And quite honestly, one of the other things we wanted to talk about is I was telling Amber that after being in the corporate environment since 1969, I've seen a lot of management training programs out there. Your book is something managers could read to understand a little bit more about how to get their people to accept and be understanding and to be open and to just be aware of what other people bring to the table. It's a book that crosses more boundaries than you could ever imagine. So I'm just hoping that everybody out there who enjoys picking up a book and really getting into it, pick up your book. And you'd mentioned another area you would like to chat about before we leave here today. And that was?
Yeah. Well, our book really talks about improving relationships within ourselves and then mm-hmm. our family and our community. And one of the things that we think is important is bonding, finding healthy bonding moments that we can share with people, whether we have to have a big boundaries up and we aren't able to spend a lot of time with some people, there are still mm-hmm. ways that you can bond with them. So we created a bonding tips booklet, and mm-hmm. that is free. You can get it on my website, but okay. really it goes through bonding at all ages, bonding with infants. When you have a baby, there are certain things that really help the infant feel secure and loved. And so we go through some of that. And then bonding with your teenagers, you know, sometimes that can be pretty difficult. uh-huh. They're wanting their freedom and sort of thing. So, and then bonding with your adult children and your parents. Mm-hmm. So we go through all of that in the bonding tips booklet. And that can be found on my website, which is mysticmeadowshealing.com/ Sacred Legacy.
Okay, why don't you say that one more time?
All right. It's mysticmeadowshealing.com/sacred legacy.
Sacred Legacies, because this whole podcast is about harmony and about making this world a better place for everyone. And quite honestly, if you're talking about bonding, what could be better? Because that's basically an element of harmony in the world. Because if you can bond with people, bond with the baby, bond with the teenager, that's fabulous. Can you give us one example out of your bonding that you would like to share? Because that helps us also with the whole idea of harmony here.
Oh, sure. So my kids are both adults now, so I'll share from that aspect because it's mm-hmm. Pertinent to my life at this time. But one of the things I've noticed with my kids is it can be difficult to find times to communicate with them. And I've learned that I need to accept their form of communication, which isn't necessarily my favorite form, which usually social media, whatever it is. If I text my son, he says, "Oh, I never read text, Mom. Snapchat me." I always think, "Oh, I don't want to be on Snapchat." But when I do that, my son actually reads my messages. So I have learned to try to find their form of communication and use it a little bit, not all the time, but a little bit.
But still, that's a bonding thing. You were flexible enough and you tied in pretty much all five of your elements right in that one step there. And your daughter, what's something with your daughter? Because I know that mom and daughter relationships are really critically important. So what's something you did really well to bond with your daughter? Share one more little gift with our audience.
Yeah, my daughter and I, we have an easier time talking together. So really just making time to go to coffee. She loves coffee. I enjoy coffee. So if I can set a time and get it on the schedule and mm-hmm. take her to coffee, she just lights up and loves that.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. That's called flexibility.
Yeah.
That's fabulous. I love it. Is there anything you would like to share with the audience before we go here today? Because any closing comments about the book or about the whole idea of creating this fabulous harmony within your family with your three authors, your mom, you, and your daughter? Anything you'd like to share with us before we leave here today?
Yeah, really, Sacred Legacy is about going against the grain and finding what works best for everyone, but especially for yourself, and really connecting into your heart, into your soul, and feeling what is the best for everyone, and then applying that. Really, really taking the time to be intentional and conscious with your relationships and having the courage to take the step forward to make the changes that will live on. It'll be your legacy. Your legacy is your relationship. So whatever you can do to improve those will live on.
I love it. I love to use the word, have the courage to do that. And I think that's beautiful because it's a beautiful prize at the end of that whole tunnel there. Mm-hmm. Love it. Very good. Well, I just want to thank you and your mom and daughter. We didn't meet them this time. Maybe we'll do something later on in the future, talk a little bit. I'd like to share some ideas with your bonding process at some point, maybe in the future. And maybe we'll get to meet them that way. We'll see. But thank you and your wonderful co-authors for delivering a wonderful document like that we not only be entertained, be enthralled with, but also learn a lot from. So thank you so much for sharing that and your thoughts and your family with us.
And thank you for having me and sharing the message.
It's a delight. It has been a delight, truly delight. I love your smile and everything. Unfortunately, the listeners can't see your smile, but trust me, it's a beauty. and thank you for listening. Be sure to listen again next week. We'll have another episode and we'll be talking about more ways that people are out there making a change in the world. It's not just the media telling us what to think and what to do. We can be good. We can change the world one smile at a time. And if you'd like to leave us any comment, you can go to the harmonygoal.com and leave us comments and listen to some of the previous episodes. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll be chatting with you again next week. And thank you once again, Amber. You were fabulous. Appreciate that.
Thank you so much for listening to the Harmony Goal podcast. To learn more ways in which people are creating harmony in the world, simply subscribe to this podcast. See our mission at theharmonygoal.com. And remember, we are all empowered to create more harmony in the world, one smile at a time.